want to be happy. I think most of us do. How many of you are happy? Some? For most of us, we're thinking, you know what, there would be something. If I just had fill in the blank, I would be happy. Most of us have a list in our minds that if we had that one thing, we would be happy. So let's decide, we decide to live our lives in the pursuit of happiness. I know it's misspelled on purpose. English people, chill out, okay? It's purposely done. And some of y'all are going, that's misspelled, okay? I'll speak slower for you, okay? Here's the thing. What if you decide the goal of your life is to be happy? I've heard people say, God wants me to be happy. That's the extent of my life. I just want to be happy. And if I'm happy, God ought to be happy with me. That's dangerous. It's also untrue. But that's also how some of us live. Let's decide we decide to live by a principle called hedonism. In other words, if it feels good, do it. Anything that feels good, that's what I'm going to do. If it brings me pleasure, I'm going to be happy because whatever it is at that moment I want, I'm going to go get. Why? Because I want to be happy. My whole life is going to be about feeling good. Nothing will be more important in my life that I feel good. As I start thinking about what is it that would make me happy, the first thing that would make me happy is money. How many of y'all wish you had more money? Really? Only that many people. How many of you wish your parents had more money? There we go. To the root of the problem there, we got it. Let's imagine you had an unlimited supply of money that you could not spend that make you happy. Most of us it would. Or at least it would. We think if we had all that money, everything right in front of us, that we would be happy. And you know what? If we had all that money, if I wanted to be happy, I would decide I wanted to all the time. I just want people to make me laugh and laugh and laugh. If I've got all the money in the world, I would hire people to do that. Kings used to do that, you know. They're called court jesters. That was their job, to make them laugh. I'd hire Sinbad and Bill Cosby to hang out with me. Like, all right, tell the chocolate cake deal. Let's go. Let's go. Tell us about that story. Tell us about that. Sinbad, tell us about being broke. If I wanted more smart people humor, I'd get Dimitri Martin. You're saying, Craig, he may be a little bit foul. Yeah, but I just want to feel good. I'd get Jim Gaffigan just to tell me his little bit on bacon over and over again. He says, bacon is the magic fairy dust of the food world. Do you want a salad? No. Poof, bacon. Yes. That salad would be great. You put bacon on anything, it automatically becomes better. I would hire these people to hang out with me. Their job was to just sit around and make me laugh. Some people, when they think of being happy, they think of alcohol. I've never heard the Red Solo Cup song. Why? Because I'm smarter than most people. I'll tell you. Toby Keith had a great song, It Should Have Been a Cowboy, and he should have stopped, It Should Have Been a Cowboy. Ever since, how do you like me now? I haven't. All right, that's just been my view. See, I know a lot of Christians that know this song, and they sing this song, and they talk about, you know, let's take this cup and fill you up, and let's lift him up. Supposed to lift who up? Christ. But we're not going to lift Christ up. We're going to lift up this cup. Why? Because it has the rings in it to let you know how much alcohol goes to what level. And party. And there's some people, what if you decide your life, all I want in my life is to feel good, and if I have to have alcohol to do it, guess what? That's what I'm going to do. And I just want to act a fool. I want to do whatever it takes for me to feel good, and you just might as well be okay with it. Why? Because what's my life about? If it feels good, I'm going to do it. And some of y'all say, man, that's just silly. I really would have rather my life to have more meaning. I want to build some things. I'd like to spend my life building things so that people would be benefited and that I would be remembered for something good. I don't want to spend my life being silly and just laughing all the time. I don't want to spend my life under the influence of alcohol. I don't want to spend my life just walking around being a moron. I don't want to do those things. What I want to do is build something great. And you got unlimited money, what would you build? If you got about $110,000, I would like you to donate that money to church camp so we can have a new septic system. We will name it after anybody you choose. a septic system you can name after somebody else. You can put, you probably already know who you'd name it after, because it wouldn't be you. Because it'd be great to have a septic system named after certain people. Since I've got unlimited money, we go ahead and build that retreat center. We may even air condition all the time. Except you think you're outside. How many of y'all go to camp then? Some of y'all are like, no, that wouldn't be camp. Yes, it would be. It'd be awesome, and I'd love it. I'd love it. It'd be great. Some of us is like, you know what, if I could build something, that would be it. Some people say, you know what, if I had my own staff of servants, how awesome would it be every day to come in and have somebody whose job it was to rub your feet and rub your shoulders, of course, wash your hands in the middle of that. You know, I don't want whatever's touched my feet to touch my shoulders, all right? And you say, you know what, I'd like to have certain meals cooked, and I would really like certain meals. I'd like to know that I could come in every night and have somebody that went to my grandmother's house and learn how to cook the best biscuits that have ever been created, and learn how to cook chocolate gravy with 2 sticks of butter, and have that every night. And then I would hire a doctor who would liposuck that out every week. I got servants. Now, I could just tell people to do something, especially the stuff I don't want to do, and it would be done. Would that make you happy? What about a bunch of animals? I hadn't seen this movie either. I've heard it's decent. But some of you say, you know what would make me happy is having a big wildlife preserve, having animals that were just mine. If you have a bunch of animals, it's good to have a bunch of servants. If you've ever cleaned up after one horse, can you imagine cleaning up after a bunch of horses and an elephant, okay? You'd have to have them. So you might be saying, Craig, that's what I would like. Our youth group at Calvert City went to Evangelism University every year in Savannah, Tennessee. And the family the boy stayed with for many years lived on and managed a private wildlife retreat center. And we would stay in this cabin that overlooked these huge cornfields. And literally, we'd get up in the morning, and there would be 150 deer. And they let that many turkeys out through these fields. And they never allowed any hunting. They didn't want that to happen. And we were in this beautiful cabin that had this stair step that went all the way down to this horse creek that goes all the way through it. That'd make me happy. At least it'd be a start. I wouldn't want to pay taxes on it. I wouldn't want to do the upkeep on it. But it'd be nice to have the thought of it. What about music? How many of y'all love music? When I first got an iPod, I got a 60-gig fifth-generation iPod. That's the first one I ever received. And the first thing I did is I went home and I took days running all my CDs through my computer and putting them on iTunes. And by the time it was over, I had about 6,000 or so songs. And it was just great to know that, you know what, I want to listen to this right now. And I could. I could scroll around that little wheel. See, iPods used to have a wheel on them. So you're like, what are we talking about, a wheel on an iPod? I mean, it wasn't touch screen? No, it was a wheel. And I could listen to anything. Can you imagine having all the money in the world? In other words, you're saying, you know what? I'm getting ready to go to bed. Get Adele here right now and tell her to sing to me. That'd work. That'd be okay. Martina McBride, get some ladies who can sing really pretty. It's like, you know, it's time to go work out. You know, let's get a band that, you know, it may be Breaking Benjamin, something real heavy. And I want them to play, and I want them to run beside me as I run. That means they ain't got to run fast. You know, but they can play and be hooked up and play good music just to keep me cranked up. Doesn't that sound awesome? Not to have to go and find it on an iPod, but to have that live music right there, and it's all at your touch. Some of you are saying, oh, it would make me happy? Sex. So that's when I feel good. That's what it's there for, to make you feel good. So what's going to make me happy is have sex and have relationships with people, and that's really what will make me feel good and will bring me the greatest joy. There's some people definitely feel that way. You may not admit it at church, but that's really the thought process that some of us have. And some of us just want to be famous. We think if we were famous, everybody knew who we are, we were considered the greatest, that we would be happy. Do you think you would be? One of these, do you think you'd be happy? There's a guy I don't think a whole lot of. His name's Howard Stern. He's on American Idol now, and he's a mean judge now. Isn't that his job? America's Got Talent, one of those deals. I think he's on there now. For years, vulgar and nasty, and talked about horrible things, and that's what he did. He was asked the question, you control your life now. You are on the radio, on TV, you have a beautiful wife, you have succeeded at all, you're paid better than almost anyone. He makes $80 million a year. $80 million a year. And that's just for his serious radio stuff. That doesn't count as American Idol and other things. And yet, you are not happy. What would it take to make you happy? Do you realize we've gone through this list and he's somebody who has more money than we can imagine? Who's built great things? He's somebody who can party and have all these people around him. He's somebody who can, you know, be about with anybody who wants to. He has all this fame. And he is asked the question, what would it take to make you happy? He said, I don't know. It's so complicated. I have a lot of anger inside of me. Once in a while, I can douse it down with some water, but it never goes away. I don't know how to get rid of it. I just walk around angry. It's a burden. That's why I'm trying to find balance. That would be beautiful, but I don't know what it would take. Doesn't that sound crazy to you? To somebody who's famous? Somebody who has a supermodel-type wife? Somebody who is already worth $500 million, half $1 billion is his net worth right now. Plus he brings in another $80 million a year. He's not happy. I'll tell you why he's not happy. It's because he doesn't know Jesus. He's a self-proclaimed agnostic. I think that's a big part of it. I sit there, and you need to watch what you think, because so many times we think all these things will make me happy. Howard Stern's not the first one. There was a Bible character by the name of Solomon. And all these things I went through is what he did to try to find happiness. Can you believe that? A Bible person, a person considered to be the wisest man who has ever lived, that didn't make you, means he had wisdom. He didn't always make the wisest decisions. See, he said in Ecclesiastes 2:1, I said in my heart, now, and I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. What he does for the next 8 or 9 verses is he goes through and says all the different things he did to try to find happiness. First of all, I want to start with what he was worth. 1 Kings 10:14 says, each year Solomon received about 25 tons of gold. And this is not all the money he had. He had more silver than he had gold. He had more property. But every year, this was his yearly income just from the gold that came in from here. That's what it says. Gold is $1,581 an ounce right now. You multiply that times 32,000, you get to a ton. So that's $50,592,000 times 25 tons a year. So his yearly income just from this is $1,264,800,000. Bill Gates doesn't make that. So he has all the money in the world. He said, all right, I'm going to test myself with pleasure. Realize he's doing that, and he knows, and you know how much money he has. He said, I'm going to try comedy. I'm going to try laughter. He said, I'm going to try drinking and following folly. He said, I'm going to drink wine and follow folly. He says that. He then says, I'm going to build and try to work. I'm going to try to find happiness there. When he built the temple of the Lord, he used 150,000 workers, and it took them 7 years to build it. A little over 7 years. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Then he wasn't done. Then he built his own place, and it took, guessing here, I would say he would probably use the same work crew. That's my thought process. It took them 13 years to build his house. So he tried building, and it didn't make him happy. He had 35,000 servants, not counting the people working for him on the houses. 35,000 people working for him. When it says he had herds, he went and bought animals. Just when it comes to animals, he had 12,000 horses. Let that sit in. 12,000 horses. He said he went out and he bought male singers and female singers. And when you got $1 billion a year coming in, you get the best. He says he went and got concubines. That's basically somebody that's there to have sex with him. He had 700 wives already. Y'all look at each other. I didn't stutter. 700 wives and 300 concubines. And he wasn't happy. When it comes to fame, he says that I had more and had amassed more than anyone ever before me in the history of time, more than his father David. This is what he said about it. Again, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure, enjoy yourself, but behold, this was vanity. In other words, it was useless. It was trash. It didn't mean anything. He said, then I considered all that my hands had done and all the toil I had expended in doing, and behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. See, so many of us believe that if we had any of those things before, and what's worse is some of us are striving toward those things to get happiness. Whether it's alcohol, whether it is sex, whether it is relationships, whether it is work, accomplishment. We're leaning and we're trying and we're saying, you know what, if I can just get this, I will be happy. You know what? You're going to spend your whole life disappointed. Because even the biggest buildings fall down. The relationships he had didn't last. The drunk sobers up. The party ends. You don't always laugh. You know what? Riches go away. So if that's what you're trying to do to be happy, it's not going to get it for you. God is much more concerned with your holiness than your happiness. Let that set in just for a second. God is much more concerned with your holiness than your happiness. So the way to have true happiness here is to find happiness in the holiness of God. Solomon was a wise man. Look what he said in chapter 12, verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your what? Youth, where you are. Before the evil days come and the years draw near, in which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. What he's saying is when you're young, you're thinking, if I get those things, if I can reach out and if I can just grab them, I'll be happy. Did you know a huge determiner of whether you're going to have a successful life or not is whether you can learn from the mistakes of other people versus having to commit those same mistakes yourself? As a youth minister, you have people tell you, I just have to learn stuff for myself. You know what I want to do when they say that? Hit them right in the face. Did I have to hit you in the face to know that you didn't want me to do that? No. I'm trying to help you. It's amazing. Heard a story about two boys last week, and this was a true story, that they got out of a car. And the dad said, "Boys, don't touch that electric fence." They were both 10 or 11 years old. "Don't touch the electric fence." One of them went over there, and he was going. He goes, it just so happened an electric fence pops, and he happened to be touching it every time the pulse went off by sheer luck. So his friend went up and grabbed a hold of it, and it shocked him, and he screamed and yelled. You know what his friend did that was sitting there by him? He didn't believe it shocked him, so he grabbed it for himself. Just sitting there shaking. Did you know that some of y'all will get pregnant or help someone get pregnant, and you will have friends who have already done that out of wedlock, and you'll be shocked it happened to you? Let that set in just for a minute. Or you'll deal with alcohol and something bad will happen, even though you've had friends be hurt by DUI drivers. What will you go out and do? The same thing. Why? Because we always believe we're so dumb we think we'll be the exception. There's a reason why there's a rule. You need to learn this tonight. You're not going to be the exception. Solomon is saying, remember, get this in your head now. And he's going to finish up. He said, I'm going to tell you how to have a good life. The end of the matter is this. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, every secret thing, whether good or evil. We don't get a pass when we're young. When we decide to be a Christian, we have a standard. And we don't automatically get a pass because we're not an adult yet. Can I tell you how to be happy? Y'all give me a couple minutes to do that. I'm going to tell you how to be really happy in this life. It comes through Christ. So what's awesome is if you choose Christ, if you choose to become a Christian, if you choose to be baptized for remission of your sins, which is how you become a Christian, if you choose to do that, give your life to Him, you will have a life of purpose. In other words, every day when you get up, when you go out, you have a chance to make a difference in the kingdom of God. That's just an awesome thought, to know that by your influence, by your words, by your care, by your concern, you can help somebody else become a Christian. You can make somebody else see Jesus in you. That is a powerful thing to know every day when you get up. Your life, you know, can you imagine being an alcoholic and every day having to find that drink and that becomes your purpose? I've dealt with a lot of addicts. And many of us are addicted to sin. So I'm not going to point, you know, like one's worse than the other. I'll go ahead and bring that out. And when your only thought that day is, I want to get pleasure, whether it comes from sex or alcohol or even being mean to people or even being accepted by people, whatever that case may be, you don't have a purpose. But your purpose in life, when you become a Christian, is to glorify God. That just literally means you get to make Jesus shine. Also, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not a perfect guy. I wasn't perfect before I became a Christian, and I have not been perfect since I became a Christian. Sin is my problem, and I deal with it. Actually, He deals with it. It's awesome to know that no matter what I have ever done in my life, that Jesus can forgive me of that. Not only that He can, but He wants to. He's not one that any should perish, but all that comes to repentance. He wants to forgive you. Did you know that there's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than He already does? Hell, He died on the cross for you. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. God's love is powerful. And when you become a Christian, you get to live in that forgiveness. Also, being a Christian gives you relationships with other Christians. Not only with God, but with each other. One of the worst things there is in this world is being alone. Would you agree with that? With a couple hundred people and you feel like nobody cares about you. You know as well as I do, you feel loneliness and the most lonely in a group of people. When you become a Christian, you have a built-in family, and we need to treat one another like a good family, to love and care and to reach out. And most of all, you have heaven. He said, Craig, where's all the joy? Isn't it awesome that the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say what? Rejoice. Jesus came that our joy may be full. And we're told to rejoice in the Lord. Last Wednesday night on the 4th of July, my cousin, Kyle Carter, was killed in a car wreck. This is him. Guitar playing and fish catching runs in our family. That's just part of who our family is. He was 20 years old, and he was riding in a car with a very good friend of his, a guy he'd been best friends with since he was a kid. Actually, it was him and that other kid that grabbed the electric fence when they were 10 years old that I just told you about. And he was riding in the passenger seat. Wasn't any alcohol involved. They were just going too fast on the country road. Most of us have done that. The guy driving lost control of the truck. And his best friend is gone now. We were trying to find ways to comfort because our family is devastated when you have a young person die like this. Anybody dies, it's really tough. But I'm going to tell you what gave us joy. It was 2 years ago. Kyle grew up in a home that they didn't attend worship. He'd heard a lot about God. He'd heard a lot of different views, a lot of different angles. He'd had some people who were very harsh to him about the Bible. He had other people who were telling him, you just need to ask God into your heart and you'll be saved. He had all these different voices in his head. And he talked to my dad, and my dad said, Kyle, you're a smart boy. He said, I want you to go home. I want you to read the book of Acts. You're going to learn how to be saved. I want you to come back and talk to me. He came back in, and he talked to my dad, and he said, I was reading about this. He said, I can't pronounce it. It's a runic or something in Acts 8. My dad said, yeah, the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, I read that, and that's what I want to do. I'm going to show you what he read. Acts 8, beginning verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with Scripture, he told the good news, that's happy, about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but he did what? He went on his way doing what? Rejoicing. Happy. See, that day, as he was talking to my dad, he said, I want to go to Piney Lake, and I want you to baptize me for my remission of my sins. See, the only joy in doing a funeral of a 20-year-old is to know that he did that. See, that's powerful. To know that he gave his life to God. And that day he came out of the water and he was happy just like the eunuch was. Where are you seeking your happiness? The only place you can pursue real happiness is to pursue Jesus. To chase him. Tell you an awesome promise. He said, if you draw near to him, he'll do what? He'll draw near to you. Tonight you have opportunity to get real happiness, not the fake happiness that we chase, but the true joy that comes from becoming a Christian. We can do tonight, you can do what the eunuch did, be baptized for remission of your sins, and give the rest of your life to him, living a life of purpose, living a life knowing you're going to be forgiving, living a life of true, strong relationships, and living a life knowing that heaven is waiting. Tonight, will you choose him? If you're willing tonight to say, you know what, Craig, I've tried to find happiness every night, thinking about all those things. I'm a Christian, but I keep trying to find happiness everywhere but Christ. Tonight's a good night to start over. To say, I'm going to seek Jesus. I'm going to seek joy in Him. And I'm going to live a life of purpose. I'm going to live a life of happiness. And I'm going to be able to die happy knowing I'm going on to be with Him. If we can help you tonight, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?